I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 163.
It is. Yeah. We're back on track now.
We're back on
track. Sorry, I put this 162 because we didn't record 162.
But
so
we did record
162. Well, you know what I'm
saying. But we recorded a while back.
Oh, we're back. We're back on we're back. Evens and odds.
Yes. Well, we were always on even and odds. Those are your only two choices for numbers. We weren't doing like theoretical numbers.
Now we're back
episode
on.
Episode 161.9 to the 10th power.
Now, this feels good, though. The box office is the box office is always odd. I'll catch you off there. But.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Joe's getting gas.
Yeah.
Prioritize things
well,
in his life.
Well, he runs on a biodiesel, right?
Yeah, well, the gas stations in this town are only open on Sundays from 9 to 9:15.
Yeah, I think he actually runs on chalupas. So
he'll be joining us in progress.
Okay. Yeah.
Already in
once he's
progress.
Gassed up.
Yes. Oh, goodness. This is a small room. So shameless plugs. I feel like it's been forever since I've done this. Shameless plugs and show notes. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there and rate and review us and subscribe. And we greatly appreciate it. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. And you can join the League of Show Sharers. We had quite a bit of traffic on our Deadpool episode. Over 100 likes and just a crap load of shares, like 26, 27.
Yeah.
So I couldn't see all of you because some of you guys have your privacy settings like locked down. So even when you share it, we still can't see you. So if you shared it and we don't say your name here, we apologize. That's when you're not being slighted. Now, if I mispronounce your name, you are being slighted.
Slightly.
I go out of my way to mispronounce people's names. That's my goal. So just some people that joined the League of Show Sharers this week. Hang on. It's getting lengthy. Brett Schulte, Librarian Cynthia, Jason Antros, I hope I'm saying that right, Ryan Breidenbecker, Travis Tewitt, Lane Levanway, Chris Frank, which he should because he was on it, Timmy Tuzoons, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders, Dustin and Nerds at Night Gaming, Sarah Clark from the Zilch podcast, Brian Kelly, Brent Smith, Julianne Jordan, and Linnea Thunsell. Did I get it right?
Linnea.
That's Linnea. Bitch. Linnea Thunsell. She even sent us a little tutorial.
It's Linnea.
Is it fair to assume that Lane's mother has kidnapped Matt or either convinced him not to listen to the show anymore?
Disneyland Man? I don't know what happened to Disneyland Man.
Yeah. I can only imagine that Lane's mom somehow got to him.
There's a lot of stuff going on. They've got construction going on. He's probably handing out hard hats, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I won't look him up whenever I go to Disneyland now. That would be awkward. He'll be like, oh, yeah, I used to listen to your podcast. So anyway, Magic Mountain's that way.
Awkward silence.
And, thanks, man. I think I'll go to Knott's Berry Farm now.
Yes. That's the park Walt went to.
Yeah.
To like the guy, he was friends with the guy who owned Knott's Berry Farm, and the owner walked out one day and Walt is in the parking lot counting cars and he's like, oh no, you're not. And he's like, I don't know what you mean.
What? No.
What? No, I just happened to
be in another state.
I was just going to start a Dishwalla tribute band.
Yep.
I'm out here counting blue cars. Don't mind me. So we got a new review on iTunes.
Oh, excellent.
I don't think we've read this one on the show.
I don't believe so.
So this is from Jason GESM. Does that stand for something?
Is that like a 50 Shades of Grey thing?
I don't know if it was some sort of professional. Like,
yeah. I don't think we should try to pronounce that.
Yeah. Well, that's their. Yeah, no, it's not supposed to be pronounced.
I know.
Yeah, their initials. But I know. Yeah. So, I think that's probably the safe
call. I think we're just going to let that.
You took
the right path.
He did post it.
Was it a hard G or a...
Yes. Well, it's first. He did post it on Valentine's Day.
Well.
So that makes it all come full circle. And I do mean.
Full circle.
Hey, Joe, how would you pronounce the acronym GESM if you were to say that as one word?
I'm not saying it.
Yeah, see? Our listener. Yeah. Well, all right.
How's that gas treating you?
It's fine now. Yeah. Yes, I got here. It got me here, actually.
See?
9:15 on the dot.
Yeah. Chalupa.
So, anyway, his review, he says, this has gotten to be the one podcast that I'm always looking forward to. My girlfriend and I have taken a few long trips where I have her load up episodes she wants to listen to and play one after another. We have a fun time and don't get tired of them. Good chemistry with these guys and love to hear about the ex. You're not alone on that one. So,
isn't like he likes to hear about your ex or he has the crazy ex?
I think he's saying both. I think he's saying he enjoys hearing my crazy stories. And you haven't even heard the big ones. But
you've heard the ones that are FCC appropriate.
Yeah, like I have to wait for my youngest to turn 18.
Statute of limitations.
So you got about another 7 years and the gloves are off.
Banking them. Just start recording them.
Yeah.
And we'll start banking them. And then when he turns 18, just start letting them loose.
I'll self-publish my divorce journal. It's riveting. So
it's like The Martian.
Yeah. Yeah, she was pretty out there. So thanks. If you would like to join our League of Show Shares, you can do that at facebook.com/realspoilers, or you can go to the iTunes and leave us a rating and review. We greatly appreciate it. We're creeping up there. We have 95 ratings now.
Five more
to the big 10.
That's right. That's pretty cool.
And then we're syndicated?
Yes. Then we're all rich and
famous. So I have a question about that. Has there ever been shows that are created strictly for syndication? And if so, how does that work?
Small wonder.
Was that really created?
You're talking about television shows?
Because Friday the 13th, the series, was created strictly for syndication.
It's called First Run Syndication.
Star Trek Next Generation.
That was really made just for syndication?
Yes. Yep.
Wait, so that means that they show it on different channels?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was never aired for a network. It was always intended to be for independent channels to pick up. It's been around forever. Yeah. The Abbott and Costello show was in First Run Syndication.
Huh. I didn't know that.
It was not a network program.
I thought that was like you became a Hall of Famer. Like when you got to like 100 episodes, you're like, congratulations. But I didn't realize that shows were created strictly for...
If you
want to
put Charles in charge of that category...
I don't.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, Charles in Charge started as a network show, got canceled, and then shifted to First Run Syndication.
And it didn't take the hint.
Yeah.
And they kept going anyway.
What was the other, Mr. Belvedere?
Mr. Belvedere, I don't think ever
was
did that.
That was
always network. That was an ABC show. Baywatch began as a network show and then shifted to First Run Syndication.
Also didn't take the hint.
The pictures of Rock and Zac Efron from the Baywatch movie?
No, I haven't.
Yes.
The Rock and Zac Efron are in Baywatch, the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen the casting. I know that they asked Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, you know they're gonna.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Rockin' Zac Efron, like you thought he was rocking.
No,
Rockin' Zac Efron.
Sounds like someone from the 50s.
Rockin' Zac Efron. I knew the Rockin' Zac Efron was in it. Yeah,
yeah. I guess it's gonna happen. They cast some gal as a villain.
I think
the joke was like, wasn't the water the villain?
Okay,
on that show?
You know, this is sort of like going back to the 90s when this would have been a funny idea. And, you know, it's like when they did the Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah.
And
there was a lot
really
of
late to do. And it's like, is it going to be campy? Is it going to be
serious?
I mean, when you cast The Rock,
given the trajectory that Zac Efron's been taking lately, I think it's going to be tongue-in-cheek.
Literally and figuratively. That's just weird. Like, it's a weird franchise to be like, yeah, this will work. People like the show.
They're remaking everything.
Do they?
No, they don't. Like, they liked it when
Hasselhoff is just, he's just like driving around the, hey, what you guys doing? I just drove by with my cheeseburger.
He took a detour from the Marvel studio where he was like, I can be Nick Fury. Yeah. And he's like, oh, Baywatch. I did that.
Yeah, it's like,
can we do Knight Rider? Can we do that one too?
Baywatch was popular because it predated internet porn.
That's true. Yes. Yeah,
and Yasmin, so it's like you couldn't find internet porn readily. And so, you would watch stuff like that.
And all you had to do is get to the opening credits.
It's the same thing that it's the same thing that killed the Sears catalog.
Yep.
Every guy of a certain age, Sears catalog.
Yep.
It's like toys were in the back, flip. Bras were in the front. Yeah. And then you could go straight to the toys easily if mom walked in.
Oh yeah, he just messed it.
I was looking at the Ghostbusters.
You were doing a lot one-handed with that catalog.
I was looking at the Ghostbusters firehouse. That's what I was looking at.
Yep.
That's exactly what it was.
So I have one of those.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh man,
I still have the big one. That's like three feet tall or whatever.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was a good. I had Ecto-1. That was my parents' big splurge. Because I got the car instead of the thing.
Thought you were your parents' big splurge.
That's also no. It was small.
No, he was the accidental splurge. Yeah,
still is.
Yeah, it still is. So haven't lived that one down.
On that note,
pure disappointment.
Perhaps we should turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And not really a big surprise with the other movies that were at the box office, but the numbers that Deadpool is doing. Number one with $31 million in week three. That's a 45% drop. That is now up to $285.1 million domestic in 3 weeks.
So I totally thought it was going to fall. Like, you're going to get that big weekend, and then it was going to drop off.
Yeah, I mean, that is insane that it is now worldwide in 3 weeks over $500 million.
Yeah, I heard they're going to do an NC-17 version of Batman versus Superman, so... I'm sure they're really excited.
NC-17.
Do they fall in love?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Is that what's going on?
But, I mean, that is just unbelievable. No one predicted that. I mean, not even people that thought it was going to do okay. No one predicted in 3 weeks $500 million. That is just, I mean, this is going to start a whole new, I mean, even if it's just for a few movies, if it doesn't end up working, R-rated superhero movies, if they know that there's this audience out there for them.
They've done them before. Yeah. So let's, like, I feel like we.
Not many, though.
No, I mean, you had Watchmen and 300. And The Crow and Blade, this,
but they kind of stopped those for,
they,
I mean,
did. Those all, they, like,
this
had
resurgence,
their,
it's all,
yeah, they had their, like, first week, maybe second week, and then the,
I would think, the huge drop. Yeah,
The Watchmen was like massive. It was like everybody who wanted to see it saw it, and then that was it.
Yeah, so like, there is a precedent for the rated R movie, but not with that kind of box office.
The problem with another movie, though, whatever the next one is, no matter what it is,
it'll probably Wolverine,
because the thing is, though, see, I don't think Wolverine can do these numbers, because Ryan Reynolds was the marketing behind this, and he has the humor, and, you know, so he's getting the action people, but then also the comedy people. He, you know, he's reaching a whole bunch of different people, even the date, you know, people went for date night on this, you know? And so I think that they may overestimate the power of the R rating and say, oh, we can just make it really violent or whatever, but it's not going to have Deadpool. And so if Wolverine was smart, they would get Deadpool in that movie. You know? I mean,
well, I've said before, why don't you just release two different rated versions of the film?
About this.
Like, I mean, I don't think you could with Deadpool, because it was just too raunchy. There would be nothing left. But, but like, on a Wolverine movie, really, they want the R rating for the violence. And so make a PG-13 version and then make an R version.
You can do that
now.
Last
movie, they were really close. There's a director's cut unrated cut, and it's way
that's
more
R-rated.
Violent. Yeah. And then, you know, they clearly shot knowing that they weren't going to get a PG-13 rating.
Right.
And you see it, and it's like, I mean, it doesn't. Does it help the movie? Does it hurt the movie? Not really. I mean, I think they've mastered the art with Wolverine. It's like, what, 7 times in?
Yeah. Is that right?
Well, how many times he's played him?
Yeah, is it really 7 times?
It's ridiculous.
So.
Numbers, yeah. But he,
been
you know,
for
they,
a long time, 2000.
Yeah, sure. By the second X-Men movie, they kind of figured out how they could,
skirt it,
dance,
I guess?
Dance on that edge of, like, pushing it without being bloody.
That whole scene in the X-Mansion was holds up.
It's true to the character. It just is not, there's not streams of blood flying, but I mean, to go straight R is just going to be an odd.
Do you think that's a mistake?
No, I think if what they're doing is right, and they're doing the Old Man Logan storyline, which they can't do it exactly because that storyline is so intertwined with the
there's a lot of Marvel
Disney Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
That's a super violent movie, or so super violent story.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could do it as a PG-13 movie. Right. So like you'd have to do it. I don't know how they would rework it to where you take out.
They also have their
you
own
take out the Hulks banging each other
timeline
they can't
that they
have
just
sex with anybody else.
They just tried to clean up their timeline with Days
right,
of Future Past.
Right.
And now they're going to have to like, well, are they going to throw that off again? Are they going to go alternate universe?
Is that Mark Miller?
It was Mark Miller and Steve McNiven.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah.
So.
Which, is, yeah, I just don't like, I, that's the thing is like, do you, where do we, you know, are we going to see him? Because he hasn't even been mentioned in X-Men Apocalypse. Like there's no talk of Hugh Jackman. There's no, I mean, obviously I assume he's probably going to have a cameo kind of like maybe First Class. Is that right?
Know.
Is that where he flicks them off?
Yeah, where he's like, they come, they try to recruit him.
Right.
And he's like, well, he's like, F off.
Yeah.
I don't know why he wouldn't be in Apocalypse, though.
But there, but I mean, in.
You haven't seen him in the trailers.
No,
and
like,
stuff,
Days of Future Past, he was front and center.
Because
like,
he was
your
main
character.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, who knows? We have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just think.
With the alternate timeline.
I think it's going to be cool, rated R, but I think financially, I think they're going to be disappointed with that decision.
Unless they do it like. You know,
I mean, Wolverine is a character that kids just like Avengers, like the whole family and the kids go to it, you know. And I think that they're making a mistake with their he's their flagship character of
you mean Fox.
Yeah,
Fox
it was the Fox, right. Yeah, he's Fox's flagship character. And see, Deadpool reached a whole audience.
Fantastic.
Which won a Razzie for Best Picture.
Yeah, but okay, but their Spider. No.
Oh,
yeah.
Nope.
So it's like Deadpool reached a whole different audience that wasn't just an X-Men or comic book fan because of Ryan Reynolds. And so this is their flagship comic book hero, and I just think putting that R rating is going to hurt them a lot in the box office.
That's why you do both.
Now, I was thinking about that. Now, they have movies have come out that were cut down. I remember when Saturday Night Fever
came
out as a PG movie.
But they do it
at
different times.
But it was at different times.
Yeah, it's not simultaneous.
It was such a hit.
It was such a hit that they trimmed it and then re-released it so they could make more money.
I didn't know, that's very interesting.
I heard Deadpool's coming out with a G-rated version, too.
It's 3 minutes long.
Yeah. I just watched it on my phone while we were talking.
Can't even get the opening credits. Like, done.
Yeah. So anyway, but
I mean, good for it. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm happy
tremendous.
That Ryan Reynolds finally has a solo.
That is a hit.
Now here's the question: is it because of Deadpool or is it because of him?
No, it's Ryan Reynolds.
Okay,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
He
like,
was the marketing behind, and they did. I mean, seriously, they need to add a marketing category at the Oscars.
Categories as is. We don't do that for marketing.
But I'm just saying, like,
he was all in on this.
That was amazing the way he lived the marketing for this, and it paid off.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, he was. It was pretty in on the marketing of Green Lantern.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, he's always been a supportive actor when it comes to doing the rounds.
Right.
It's just Green Lantern was a more traditional marketing campaign.
And this is a different time, too. I mean, that was five years ago. You think of now with social media and, you know, YouTube and how that, the way we consume media is so different, too. But, I mean, this is by far his biggest hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, good for
him.
You see
that picture that Zack Snyder tweeted out with him and Momoa?
No.
So in the background.
Oh, with the costume.
You can see the Flash costume, but there's also, people are like, it's either Nightwing's costume or it's the new Green Lantern suit.
Yeah. Right.
And
I
was like, oh, God, no. Like, if you're doing this for Dawn of Justice, please stop. Just stop. Just stop.
That Nightwing and Green Lantern?
Yeah, it's both of their suits.
How many people are going to be in it? It's a superhero new movie, not a ska band.
We'll see. Number two, the movie of the day. So that's not bad, right? Wow. Number two?
I think they might disagree.
Yeah.
$13.4 million on a $140 million budget.
That's good. Serves it
enough.
Right.
It can go up from there, right? We get like
totally.
A 10,000% increase next weekend.
Have you guys ever not purchased like any more like snacks or anything like during a movie because you don't want to contribute any more?
Yeah. Like I made sure I went to the cheapest show I could find.
I really wanted a pretzel and I'm like, nah.
I didn't get any snacks either. How much did you pay for your ticket?
$5.
$5.
$4.
Good.
So there may be a reason why I tried
to do the free, and they're like, well, that's for after 2 weeks. I'm like,
oh, that's
what's the free? I have a free ticket.
Pass. Yeah, it's always everything's no
special engagement.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'll come back in 2 weeks.
But you know what's funny, though?
It won't be here.
So I saw this movie at 10:30 a.m. because I wanted to get it out of the way. I had stuff to do, right? And so I'm like, well, I'm surely going to be the only person in the theater. By the end, there were like 15 other people.
My theater was packed.
So I'm thinking that the box office is $13 million because every person went to the $4 or $5 show. Right, it had to be.
It was
so there were a lot of people in theaters.
Yeah, they were there.
But yeah, so $13 million. Now foreign, I don't know. I don't see that it's open foreign yet. Obviously, this is going to make money foreign. This
Egypt,
is a,
not in Egypt.
Well, no. Yeah,
this was actually the crowd that said it's cheaper than Netflix.
It's fine.
But, you know, so we won't see those numbers for a while, but I don't think they're going to take a complete loss. This is just one of those movies that they make for the foreign, you know, for foreign distribution.
We'll get into it in the later episode. But you'd think that the guy, Jamie Lannister, would just be like, I'm just going to stick to Game of Thrones. Because every time I'm in a movie, it sucks.
Well, yeah.
We did. What was the other one we did that he was in that was awful?
He was in that comedy, too, with the...
You saw that one.
He was in a rom-com or something like that.
What was the one where he was dating...
It was like the First Wives Club remake, with Cameron Diaz.
And then he dates...
He was in Oblivion, wasn't he? The Tom Cruise movie?
Was he?
I don't remember.
But I thought he was actually pretty good.
I thought it was just
him
and the chick.
Yeah, he was in that.
Okay.
But
I felt like there was like
a role.
Yeah.
I mean, so he has had...
I felt like he did another action flick that we did.
Yeah, there was something like, else that I remember seeing him in, and I was like,
Yeah, he's been in some pretty bad movies. He was in Oblivion.
That's not him. Is that him?
What? This is him.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
He was in Mama. I didn't ever
see
that.
No, that was good. That was a good flick.
Was it? And then Headhunters.
Nope.
That was a 2011, so it was Headhunter, a while ago.
That's a remake. That's a remake of like a Russian film, a flick
what
about... Yeah.
Interesting. So I don't know. But yeah, that I know that Cameron Diaz movie was terrible.
It was Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
And narrow it down.
Yeah.
Oh, the bad Cameron Diaz
movie. Oh, yeah. Number three, Kung Fu Panda 3. That's in week five. It made another $9.2 million, which is only a 26% drop. So I guess being the only kids movie out there, still making some dough. $128.6 million domestic. And we go
Everybody's dropping their kids off at Kung Fu Panda.
Going to see Deadpool.
Yeah.
Another $180 million or so foreign. Brings it up to around $300 million worldwide. And then I still don't have a budget officially, but the Wikipedia said it was...
Yeah, it was like 140 or 150.
Somewhere.
It was a giant number.
Yeah, so I mean, it's made its money back with
it's a panda-sized number.
Oh, hey,
well, that Jack Black panda is pretty big.
It's an Egypt god of Egypt-sized number because they're so tall.
Oh, I see what you did.
Oh. Yeah.
That was an awkward moment when I walked in a little bit late and I was like, "What are they?" Why is he filmed like that?
No, it was just awkward
We'll get into that. Number four, Risen. That was the movie that we thought about maybe seeing, but didn't. That's a
that
Joseph Fiennes movie? Yeah. That was $7.3 million.
Is that the one where he plays Michael Jackson?
No. He plays Jesus / Michael Jackson.
No, it's I saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He plays, on purpose?
Yeah. Okay. I thought we were going to do it, and then when I saw it, I was like, maybe we shouldn't. But he... He plays a Roman, like, soldier.
Okay.
And Jesus has been crucified. I don't know if you know Jesus was crucified. Have you heard the news?
I feel like I heard that.
Yeah.
Did he come back?
Yeah. Well, that's what the movie's about.
Oh.
Yeah. And so a shadow, and then we had three more weeks of Easter.
And so... So he's... So they're saying that his apostles or disciples they've said that he would rise from the dead, and so... He's tasked with making sure that that doesn't happen because they think that they're going to steal his body and then say it. And so his body still gets out. And so now he's tasked with finding the body of Jesus.
Wow.
So he can prove to everyone that he did not rise from the dead. But of course,
not a zombie.
Yeah. And of course, he's on time crunch because, you know, rotting corpses don't last so long,
and you can only so much frankincense and myrrh will mask that smell.
And so he's, you know, so from there it becomes like a police procedural,
buddy cop movie.
Yeah, I mean, really, it becomes like a police procedural of him going around like
dun dun,
busting heads, and yeah, it's really odd.
He's got Jesus' picture on a piece of like papyrus.
Have you seen?
He does.
Man?
He goes around.
Oh,
like,
no.
I mean, not to that degree, but he goes around. I mean, for real, like that's what they do for like half of this movie.
But he teams up with Judas, but isn't sure if he can trust him.
Yeah. But Judas was already dead at this point.
Yeah, Jesus killed himself right after Jesus was crucified.
Yeah.
Good Lord, Kevin.
Come on, it's in the Bible.
Jeez.
So I do, but yeah, it's like
this was in the flashback.
Wait, what's like a police procedural for Jesus movies? I actually have some rejected titles for this movie, if you would like to hear.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So Hill Street Hebrews.
Wow.
CSI Nazareth.
Nice. Yeah. I heard that's going to be a new thing.
Yeah, that yeah, is, yeah, yeah.
CBS just optioned it.
Dragnet, starring Joe Good Friday.
Wow.
Adam and Eve 12. That's for Dan and I.
I know Adam 12.
For the, old people.
I'm with you.
Galilee 5-0.
Oh,
yeah. NYPD Jew.
Nice. That's it. That's the best one you're going to get.
No, oh. I have one more, and this is my personal favorite, Law and Martyr.
Oh!
Dun, dun.
That's good. So,
dun, dun,
this is rejected titles for the film Risen.
So wait, what was the Gerard Butler movie where he was Dracula? Which one was
it?
What? Yeah, it wasn't John Carpenter's, it was like Dracula 2000?
That Gerard Butler was Dracula?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not thinking of The Phantom of the Opera?
No, he was Dracula. I think it was Dracula 2000, I think. But in Dracula 2000, they say that
Dracula 2000.
Dracula was Judas, and that God cursed him for turning on his son, so he turned him into Dracula.
No, he cursed him with red hair.
Yeah.
That's what people said forever, was that redheads were the sins of Judas?
Yeah. But yeah, that was always, I always thought that was they never really give you an origin for Dracula. He just kind of is. Like, there's all kinds of different ones out there.
Yeah. This, I saw a commercial for this, and they were like, the way they referred to it is like a spiritually, I don't know what the category, I was like, oh, I haven't heard it officially, you know, like a religious movie. They didn't call it a religious movie, though. They called it a
spiritual awakening.
If some sort of spirit.
Well, because as he investigates the crime, he's like, well, of course. He did rise from the dead. Yeah. He becomes, he converts, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, but they called it like a spiritually related movie or something. It was like, I was like, what? Like, it was like, we don't want to say religious movie. So say something that doesn't sound religious.
If we say religious, we got to play in megachurch.
And then I was like, you know, those movies have been around forever. You know, when you go back, you know, like movies like Barabbas.
Yeah, Barabbas or Ben-Hur. Yeah. Or, yeah, totally.
Is Ben-Hur a religious movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could never put that together.
But see, they were also huge.
Right, it takes place in the time of Christ, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah,
I'm trying to remember.
Huge Hollywood spectacles.
Right.
You know.
The Ten Commandments.
And
that wasn't a niche market back then.
No.
That's true.
No,
that's a good point.
It was, you know, it was kind of like an all-in thing. It was a little bit easier, I think.
And they back then, and I think that's part of why they tended to be like Old Testament or like like, you know what I mean, because it's like
Old Testament was still pretty like prevalent.
Well, and Jews could go.
Yeah, I was gonna say Old Testament
story of Christ. Jews are like, I think I know how this one ends.
What the Christians know is the Old Testament.
Right.
Is more or less the Testament.
Right. I think I know how this one ends.
Yeah, again, I'm the bad guy. I got it.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen The Night Before with Seth Rogen? I watched that last night.
It was really good.
It is hilarious. It is really funny. It was really good. And he's in the church. He goes to midnight mass and he starts freaking out and everyone's looking at him in the middle and he goes, I didn't kill him, or whatever, and runs out. He's wearing like
that. That one took forever to come out. Like, yeah. That's been out of theaters a while and it's just now coming out.
Well, that's the one that we all wondered.
We're like, how did it come out? Right. We're like, oh, did that come out?
Yeah. Yeah. He snuck it out. Apparently they snuck it out.
They snuck it
again.
It was funny. Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. But Risen, let's see here. Risen opened with $7.3 million. Or no, so it was second week. I thought it was first week.
No, it was open last week,
Oh, it did. Okay. Risen in its second week made $7.3 million. That's a 38% drop. It is now up to $23 million, and that's on a $20 million budget, 170,000 foreign.
Interesting. Oh. Actually, it's 20 million. It's all in drachma.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know the conversion on that?
I do not.
$30.
How many cubits to a drachma? I don't know.
What's a cubit?
So, yeah.
Right. Can we make that joke?
We can't make Bill Cosby references.
God damn it.
What's a cubit? It's a date rape drug.
Like, that is one of my favorite comedy bits of all time. Like, I love that bit. And it's just, damn you.
Nope.
Yeah.
Number five, Triple Nine, $6 million opening weekend.
I kind of wanted to see that.
It has a huge cast. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people in it. So what went wrong there?
It should have been a season of television rather than...
It looked like a season of True Detective.
Yeah, it would have been much... It was better than True Detective Season 2, I'll tell you that. But there's so many people in this movie because you get Woody Harrelson and Casey Affleck.
Is he playing
Norman Reedus? And
Norman Reedus is in this movie.
Yeah, and
Chiwetel Ejiofor,
Aaron Paul,
Gal Gadot,
Anthony Mackie.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it's a big
Kate Winslet.
Yeah,
Clifton Collins Jr.
I don't know that one. Who's that one?
Yeah. You know, he's a supporting actor. He's been in a lot of movies. I can't remember the last thing he was in, but he's in a lot of...
Yeah,
so
you would know him if you saw him. He's really good.
It's a corrupt cop story?
Yeah, and it starts off fairly decent, and then it's just too many twists and turns, and I think by the end, it just...
Oh, he was he's the Jew on Deadwood. Isn't he? Isn't that right?
I don't watch Deadwood, but he's in a ton of movies.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah.
But by
Pacific
the
Rim, he played the crippled guy.
Yeah.
Does Woody Harrelson pretty much play the same character they played on True Detective?
No, I felt like he was playing Matthew McConaughey's character,
which is what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's
an awesome. Did you ever hear that story?
No, they switched.
Yeah, so they went in and they wanted Woody Harrelson to be Matthew McConaughey, Rust, and then Matthew McConaughey to be Cole.
Nice.
So they read it and they were like, "Hey, can we flip this real quick?"
It's like what they did. Is it The Way Back or which one was it that with Steve Carell?
Yeah, they did it in Way Back. They did it in Birdcage.
Yeah,
they went to Robin Williams.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to play the Nathan Lane role. Right. And he was just like, "I've done this." And he's like, "Let's flip it."
That's cool.
Yeah, they flipped it, and then they it was Nick Pizzolatto, and
they also did the same thing with Liam Neeson in Schindler's List.
He was supposed to be one of the Jews.
Yeah, he was going to be one of the, and they were like, "This makes no sense.
Why would we do this?"
And he's
huge.
Like,
yeah, he's huge.
Yeah.
Well, he kept killing. He can't hide.
He kept killing all the Nazis. They couldn't get him. They couldn't. He was never in any danger.
Right.
That's
pretty good.
I heard they did the same thing in The Parent Trap.
Is that what they did? They flipped
Haley Mills.
That's what it was. Yeah, and
well, for us it's Haley Mills. For them, it's
Lindsay Lohan.
No,
when she could still act.
No, it's still Haley Mills.
Yeah, definitely. 999 not making very much money. I mean, that's a huge cast too. I don't have a budget on that, but I don't know. Was that supposed to be like an art house movie where they didn't take a?
It looked.
It probably should have been because that is a lot of actors.
What was
to
the
pay.
Affleck? The Town, like that's what it kind of like a cheaper version of The Town. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's what really it looked like. I'm just judging off a preview.
You know, it's funny because the lady in front of me bought tickets for 999, and I'm like, huh? And then I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't know that one was out because of the amount of star power attached to it. But
yeah,
Tells you something about it, I guess.
Swing and a miss.
999. That's how many actors were in the movie, actually.
I think they spent all their money on the actors.
They would have had to ad lib it.
That's fine. We got all these actors.
Market that movie.
Eddie the Eagle opened this weekend, sixth place with $5.8 million. That is not very much, but that is also kind of an art house movie. Only a $23 million budget on that one.
Did you see that?
I did not.
See, that's one.
I want to see that.
I remember that.
Oh, really?
And I loved it.
Because it was sports.
But see, that was he was one of the few people, like during the Olympics, that was one of the few things that I actually watched because I knew this guy did not know what the hell he was doing. And I'm like, I can relate to this.
Like the Jamaican bobsled team?
Yeah. It was like, he had glasses and he couldn't see and I had glasses and I still do. and I can't see. But when he was skiing, I was like, I could totally relate to that. And so, you know, when they said, oh, they're making a movie, I was like, that's awesome because
it interesting.
It looks pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it looks different. You know, the style of it is.
I think it's going to be an oddball kind of.
Yeah, it is. It's really quirky.
Is
the
it
humor.
Fox Searchlight?
I think so.
It's Fox. We were just talking about, I'm watching that O.J. Simpson show on Fox. Mm-hmm. And I realized as we're sitting there watching like the last episode, there's a whole generation of people that didn't see this.
We, the four of us,
were all sitting, like, we saw it happen live.
Yeah.
And it was just that realization. I was like,
this is how Dan and I feel about,
I know.
About the Lindbergh trial.
I was like, this was what Tom and Dan must feel like. They don't remember watching that Bronco
that is,
on live TV.
That is weird because, you know, obviously, yeah, we're just getting into generation. But for people to not know things,
the generation now are those stupid kids. Like, they're like, oh my God, that's Kim and Courtney and
welcome to,
you know, like.
I know, man.
You like, just it was said a real the stupid
scene.
It's only going to get worse.
The scene just turned into the
I
guy.
Did. I know.
You turned into the get antagonist from Scooby Doo.
Yeah, right.
I would have gotten away with it too. But like, there's that scene where David Schwimmer as Kardashian is talking to the kids, mm-hmm. where he's like, "Fame isn't everything, and you have to have a heart and this and that." And I was like, "Whoa!"
And they're like, "Whatever, Dad."
Yeah. Can I just order my food? But yeah, it was just very weird to think that.
Is it good? I haven't watched it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate it is, but it's pretty good.
Oh, well, I think when OJ when they put him away for murder at the end, it might not be exactly accurate.
No, but I think that there are like obviously there are conversations that are going on in the show that I don't think anybody would have any knowledge of. Like,
but I think all those people have written books.
That's probably true.
Yeah, this is pulled from a book. I mean,
it
this
is. Yeah.
But I mean, I think Marcia Clark has she's not really one to want to revisit this. But
I don't blame her.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of it's about the procedure, and it's not really about, you know, I think people were thinking, oh, we're going to get the details on the crime, and it's like,
you're never going to get the details of that crime.
This is more about, like, all of the crap, like, you know, the power play on OJ's legal team, which is amazing.
Which I never, I didn't know. Like,
you
I didn't know
Shapiro,
that was.
And you got
Johnny Cochran.
Effley Bailey. And, so just, to watch all that happen is kind of interesting.
They did an interview with Marcia Clark, like, just recently. And they did a side-by-side of Marcia Clark now with Sarah Paulson, like, in the show. It's creepy how much she sounds like her cadence, the whole, like... Sarah Paulson, I think, is one of those actresses she's that great. You really forget about because she's just pretty much been on American Horror Story the entire time, like, recently. But, yeah, she's awesome. Like, she'll probably win an Emmy, or at least be nominated, because she's so spot-on as Marcia Clark. It's creepy.
Is Travolta any good in it?
He's Travolta.
I mean, like, he was the weak spot.
I wouldn't call him the weak spot. I mean, David Schwimmer. He's, you know, like,
he makes me wonder more about, like, his portrayal. Is that his portrayal, and he's just taking some interesting choices?
Or is that that guy?
Or was that guy just that kind of wackadoo? I'm kind of like, was he that crazy?
I think
we just didn't know it?
They say the F word on that show
a lot.
On Fox?
On Fox.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like,
FX.
Oh, FX.
Yeah. I was like, rewind that real quick.
Yeah.
Did he just say that on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah. They would say it on Mad Men on AMC, but they would drop the audio. And then on the Blu-rays, it would be in there.
I'm pretty sure they said it on South Park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. That's true.
The one episode where they had the F episode and they had the counter on the screen. It was brilliant.
That is crazy how they just get away with that now. They're like,
it's late
night, 19 seasons in or 20 now, and they're just like, owning it. It's great. Yeah. They know that's their moneymaker right there.
I quit watching that show at like season 3.
Oh, it's so good. The new ones are just amazing. It's just as good. So, number 7, How to Be Single.
I'm surprised that's still hanging in there.
Week 3 with $5.3 million, a 35% drop. It's
not selling a lot of tickets in pairs.
$39 million, another $24 million foreign, so it's up around $60 million on its $38 million budget.
How would you classify that as, like, the women's date?
An anti-romantic comedy.
Like the women's, like, night out movie?
Oh, it has to be, yeah.
It's like a night out. It's a Galentine's Day movie.
Hey,
I didn't coin that phrase.
That's Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that was really good.
No, I didn't
do it. No. But, not...
Trademark, not real spoiler.
Not exactly doing gangbusters. That might do really well in video, though. Probably, you know, that might be a huge rental one.
Is she funny?
Dakota Johnson?
Yeah.
Like, she plays a straight character in this, right?
I liked her in 50 Shades of Grey. I thought I felt like she knew she was in a really crappy movie.
Okay.
And was kind of making fun of it.
Yeah.
And I thought she was the highlight of that film for me. I thought she was funny. But
she's the straight character, right?
I think so. I mean she's as much as
like Rebel Wilson's kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, you put Rebel Wilson in there, you're going to like, she's going to do the Rebel Wilson
Jim Carrey's
thing.
The straight character.
Yeah,
Mr.
right.
Rebel
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just find that I just wondered, like, if she has like her future trajectory, I guess. Like, is it going towards the comedy stuff, or is it going towards the drama stuff?
I thought she was bad on SNL. I'm like,
I missed that one.
I just was like, that's why. Because obviously 50 Shades of Grey wasn't much of to go on, you know? I mean, the source material is what it is. And then I watched her on SNL, and I'm just like, oh, she's not a good actress. So I wasn't sure how her
parents
career
aren't
would
good
go.
Actors. Like, just putting that out there.
She's been genetically bred to be famous for no reason.
Yeah. Right. Number 8, The Witch, is in its second week with $4.2 million. That's a 52% drop.
It's
that
fantastic.
Is up to 15, heard. 15 million.
I loved every second of it.
Really?
Yeah,
good?
It's early in 2016.
Is that a Blair Witch prequel?
Yeah, right. But it may be one of my favorite horror flicks. It could be, depending on what else comes out this year. One of my favorite from 2016.
I've only heard
good really,
things
it was
about
really
it.
Good.
Wow. And no one's in that we know.
They're able to tell just a good horror story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess the best way to describe it. Like, there's no
casting to it. It's just
well done.
Is it original? I mean,
yeah,
is it
I
very
so.
Original concept?
Oh,
though,
I mean,
Like, what kind of movie is it?
They didn't, you know, witches predate this movie.
Well, like, what if you had to compare it to another movie, like, it's a horror movie, but that's so broad. What is it about? Just...
So, like...
Are they in the woods being scared the whole time?
Yeah, like, they don't, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give anything away. I would kind of compare it to, like, Mama or... what was the other one? There's another one that came out right around the same time as Mama that was kind of similar. Mm. It just kind of has that tone. Like, if I say too much, it will give everything away, and I don't want to do that because this is, we're not doing that.
Yeah, I want to...
But, it was great. I loved it.
Oh, well, good.
What studio is that from?
Let's see. The Witch was A24.
Which has a history of...
We're seeing this... we're actually seeing, like, original horror films coming out.
Which is nice.
Over the past, like, year and a half with It Follows and Babadook and Mama.
Yeah.
That all aren't cribbing from each other. So it's kind of...
There's some new ideas out there.
That is nice. Yeah, because that's the thing, is that horror has been so unoriginal for so long. And that's why it's hard to go watch a horror movie because it's all predictable. It's all just cheap jump scares. And then you see these original ones come out. That's great.
Yeah.
What was the one where it's like the two kids?
That's Mama.
That is Mama?
Yeah, where they find the two kids in the woods. Right?
The one where the mother comes home from getting surgery.
That's Mama.
That is Mama.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Interesting. I was talking to some buddies, and it's just kind of like we're talking about the slasher, like Friday the 13th and Halloween, and how these studios are just putting giant budgets on them for no reason. And I was like, just give them to Blumhouse. Like Paramount and all of you guys can say, like, this is our movie, but we're going to like do a Disney and Sony thing.
Yeah.
Where give it to Blumhouse. Blumhouse will do it for $7 million and you're going to make $100 million, you know.
Oh, you'll get three movies for that.
Well, exactly. But what I'm saying is, like, you allow filmmakers to be creative and kind of tell their own Friday the 13th story or Nightmare on Elm Street or Halloween or whatever.
We've seen horror movies don't need big budgets.
Especially those movies.
Well, like, it's sort of like
you're sitting on those studios are sitting on a gold mine
because they were cheap to make.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're kind of at an era like it's pretty reminiscent of like when Wes Craven and Brian De Palma and John Carpenter started out, and they were doing unique sort of original ideas.
I agree completely.
Writer directors who came out, and they were all like in the horror genre, but none of those movies were similar.
No. Yeah, that's very true.
And they all went on to bigger things. I think we're starting
to see that.
Number 9, Race, in its second week. That made $4 million, a 46% drop. That is now up to $13 million. That's the Jason Sudeikis heartfelt.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, I don't know. No one saw that here?
No.
Race, okay. Yeah, I didn't want to.
I feel like that title is a double entendre.
What?
Double entendre means dirty.
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
I don't think.
Double meaning. How about double meaning?
Oh.
Oh,
my. I don't know what you just said.
It's a race to the finish.
What movie is this?
This is the one about Jesse Owens. Okay. Jason Sudeikis plays Jesse Owens.
But it's like he's like an inspirational, you know, it's like Jason Sudeikis trying to play a serious.
He's the manager. Yeah. And he's, you know.
Well, because there is the Jesse Owens movies coming out.
I think this is it.
Is there another
one?
There's a Jesse Owens movie coming out. Or is this it?
I think this is it.
This has to be it. There can't be that big of a market for that, is there?
No, I don't know. Well, you said Jason Sudeikis, and I was
Jason Sudeikis plays like the coach.
Yeah. All right, so this is the...
That's got to be it.
I've seen the kid that's in this, too. I've seen him in other stuff.
I'm like, what does Jason Sudeikis have to do with the Jesse Owens story?
I don't think that's it.
At all.
I don't think that's the right one. The Negro Soldier. I don't think that's the right movie, Kevin. Clear your Google history quick.
But he's in the movie.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, then that's not the one I saw him in.
So, yeah.
Okay, so, you're right. Yeah, Race. It's supposed to be a biopic about Jesse Owens, and it focuses on everybody but him, okay?
Yeah, right. Pretty much.
Well, that'll help tonight's opening monologue with Chris Rock.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be on it like stink on poop.
Yep.
So that's at $13.5 million. I think, did that have a, it's an undisclosed budget, so we're not sure on that one. And rounding out the top 10, The Revenant, still hanging in there. $3.5 million, that's a 9% drop in week 10, $170 million domestic, $217 million foreign, so it's approaching $400 million worldwide on its $135 million budget.
I thought the Oscars didn't nominate anything that made over $400 million just because, you know. it's not cool to nominate the popular movies. Well,
that was pretty. Well,
this movie was popular.
That's true.
In spite of itself.
That's true, yeah.
So,
although they must have thought it was going to do okay because it has like a $120 million budget.
Yeah, it's a giant budget.
Not a cheap movie to make.
Right. And I mean, Birdman wasn't super expensive, was it?
No,
was it?
Because they
were in
Birdman,
a building.
Yeah, right. As I said, Birdman made $103 million on an $18 million budget, so that's why they gave him $135 million to do this, and it worked. So, and I think it's going to work for Leo tonight. Is there anyone that doubts he's going to win that Oscar?
I feel there's that little voice in the back of my head that's like, nah. Screw him over.
You just want the memes. You want memes for days. You know he's going to start walking out before they call his name. Like he's
going to do a Kanye.
I'm not going to say you didn't do a great job.
I think they're going to split it out across like everything. I do kind of have hopes that like either Mad Max is going to get Best Picture or Mad Max will get. Although I think Big Short might get it now. It was like kind of a hot race between Big Short and Spotlight.
Yeah.
And Spotlight was kind of like in the lead for Best Picture, and then like Big Short's been kind of
creeping
past it. But I was kind of hoping that like I would love to see George Miller at least get it for Mad Max.
A producer.
Revenant would get Best Picture. Miller gets it for Mad Max. Like I think Mad Max is going to get something.
You think it's going to get a big one like that?
I was kind of hoping
he might.
I loved it. That's one of my favorite movies.
That it's
of the year.
Like. I mean, it's been nobody has questioned that movie's position on any chart at all, ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's
incredible.
There's nobody who's like, what does it belong out there?
Yeah. Oh, it's an amazing feat in filmmaking.
Yeah.
I mean,
got added as a producer for Justice League.
Oh, that's cool.
George Miller did.
Really?
I guess maybe they're using some of his ideas or.
I'm sure that's it. They're just like, look, we got to do something else.
it's going to be Mad Max, but with people in costumes. Like, they're going to be jumping from car to car.
As opposed to what Mad Max was? With people in costumes? No. I mean, like, superhero costumes.
No, those were real mutants. So, anyway, but that's the box office. Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So, I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That means we have to talk about God's Beach.
Talk about God's Beach. You can only put it off for so long, young man.
I thought we'd go a couple hours on the box office.
So, let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we are waiting for you at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. You can email us at RealSpoilers@ReviewSTL.com. Or I feel like there's one more. I don't know. Find us on iTunes. There, you can go there and rate and review and subscribe and do all that fun stuff. And while you're at our Facebook page, you can join our League of Show Sharers and share an episode or two or 162 with your friends. And we would greatly appreciate that as well.
Hey, I found a picture of Gerard Butler when he saw the box office for this movie.
There he is, just angry. He's like, can I do 302?
Well, he either just saw the numbers of the box office or he's taking a poop. I don't know.
His numbers did take a poop.
Yeah.
So
it's a double entendre.
Yes. Poop might be dirty for you.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah,
you know,
depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, don't judge you.
So anyway, that's those are all the places you can find us and ways you can help support the show that don't involve money. So how about that? So thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Gods of Egypt because. Someone needs to.
We like you people.
Yes, and we see them, so you don't have to. So until next time, you've been warned. Stretched out.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.